Family Theater presents Danny Thomas and Jim Backus. From Hollywood, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with Family Theater, presents It's a Gift, starring Jim Backus. And now, here is your host, Danny Thomas.
Thank you, Tony Lafrano. Family Theater's only purpose is to bring to everyone's attention a practice that must become an important part of our lives if we're to win peace for ourselves, peace for our families, and peace for the world. Family Theater urges you to pray. Pray together as a family. And now to our transcribed drama, It's a Gift, starring Jim Backus as G.H. Gage.
During his lifetime, George H. Gage has made money. Not just a dollar here and there, but millions, many millions. It's typical of G.H., as he is called, that the opening of our story finds him manipulating money. As a matter of fact, he's indulging in a whim reserved exclusively for the very rich.
And tell me, do you think $100,000 will be enough to establish his home for underprivileged children?
Oh, why, yes, that would be ample.
That's for one home.
Well, you see, Mr. Gage...
If you need $100,000 to establish one home, could you establish three for $300,000?
Why, Mr. Gage, you don't understand.
I'll understand you quite clearly, miss, if you'll just say yes or no.
Well, since you put it that way, yes.
Oh, that's better. Now, what is your name again?
Burton, Jane.
Jane Burton.
Pardon
me, Miss Burton. And let him through, please.
Thank you. Well, G.H., I've seen the newspapers.
So what, Bob?
Is it true?
Yes, indeed.
All of it?
Every little bit of it.
But, G.H., it's impossible! One just doesn't give away all one's money.
Oh, one doesn't one? You just what? Now, miss...
Burton?
What was that figure we settled on?
Well, you said something about $300,000.
Oh, yes. That was for three homes for underprivileged children. Well, now here's a check for $500,000. Suppose you establish five homes for the little codgers.
Oh, thank you ever so much, Mr. Gage.
Oh, not at all. Thank you. Next, please.
$500,000. G.H., as your lawyer, I tell you, you can't do this.
Why not? Who else could dissolve the Gage Enterprises better than G.H. Gage himself?
But why?
Because money stinks. It has brought me nothing but misery.
Misery? All those millions?
Yes. In a lonesome moment, have you ever tried to throw your arms around a $1,000 bill? I never had time for love and marriage. To the world at large, I'm not a man. No, I'm just $92 million.
$93,478,623.25.
I know. I got your report this morning.
But don't you think this move a bit drastic?
Drastic? My fat foot. The only time in my life I've been happy was when I was broke. And that's how I'm going to be again.
Well, I can tell you the firm of Cornwell, Cornwell and Boggs isn't going to take this lying down.
And just what do you think Cornwell, Cornwell and Boggs can do about it?
Take you to court.
And what will that prove?
That you are hopelessly insane.
Now, as a psychiatrist, Mr. Gage, this strange desire to give away all your money intrigues me.
Well, Dr. Sherwood, don't you think this is sort of crazy?
What?
Well, don't you think it's crazy for you to be trying to find me crazy because I want to give my money away?
Very significant that you should use the word crazy. But to answer your question, it is not crazy at all. The court is interested in determining...
The court is not interested at all. The court wouldn't have done anything if Cornwell, and Boggs hadn't forced the issue.
Please, Mr. Gage, I'm the one who's supposed to be conducting this examination.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Yes. Now tell me, Mr. Gage, why do you want to give your fortune away?
Oh, this record is really cracked.
Cracked? What was that about cracked? You know, we look for word associations in these examinations.
Oh, this is going to be a rugged ordeal.
Yes, now to get back to the original question, why do you want to give your entire fortune away?
Why? Well, I want to escape from money. In short, I want to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Very significant. And do you imagine you will find happiness through the simple process of giving your money away?
Have you ever tried to give $98 million away, Doctor?
Oh, no, of course not.
Well, it's far from simple, believe me. In the first place, I had to convert my holdings into cash. So I had to sell an empire. Ever try to sell an empire, Doctor?
No, I have never sold an empire, Mr. Gage. And just what does all this signify?
That I am working hard for my happiness and giving away this money. I tell you, Doctor, it isn't easy.
Mm. A moment ago, you said, I want to escape from money. Doesn't that strike you as a melodramatic and unnatural statement?
Have you ever been surrounded by $98 million, Doctor?
No, I have never been surrounded by $98 million.
Well, I have, and I began to wonder what I was, a man or a bankroll.
And you decided you were a bankroll.
That's right.
How did you arrive at this conclusion?
Have you ever been pushed into utter loneliness, Doctor, because you own $98 million?
No, not ever.
Well, I have. I was forever apart. I was different. Too different to be around comfortably.
But why give away all your millions? Why not keep 1 million and give the rest away?
If you had 98 carbuncles, would you give away 97 and keep one?
Dollars are not carbuncles.
Have you ever had...
$98 million? No, I never have.
Well, I have, and to me, they're worse than carbuncles.
But couldn't you just keep one little million?
Have you...
No, I have never had $1 million.
Well, if you had, you would know just how dangerous $1 million can be.
Dangerous?
That's right. It would be pretty difficult not to make another million if a person had 1 million to start with. At least it would be for me. And then I'd be right back where I started. Don't you see?
Oh, I'm trying, Mr. Gates. I'm trying.
Well, now look. How much money do you look forward to making in your profession?
Well, I don't know. I had never thought...
Would you ever want to make $98 million?
Oh, this is ridiculous. Of course not.
Well, then how can you presume to judge a man who wants to give away something you will never know anything about?
Well, this is very... this is getting completely out of hand. I'm supposed to be conducting this interview.
Well, I don't think you're qualified to pass judgment on my sanity, Doctor.
What?
You know nothing of my malady, namely $98 million.
Now, look, Mr. Gage. Don't you see why this strikes people as an insane thing to do? You are actually throwing away what other men struggle a lifetime to achieve.
Yes. But how many of them have ever
if
had...
If you say $98 million once more, I swear I'll lose my mind.
A very significant statement, Doctor.
I wonder how that whole thing is going to turn out. Your Honor, as the examining psychiatrist in the case of Cornwell and Boggs versus Gage, it is my opinion after examining the defendant, Mr. George H. Gage, that although his action of giving away his entire fortune is quite eccentric, it does not necessarily mark him as mentally incompetent. The defendant, therefore, should be judged sane. And your Honor, might I add, Your Honor, that if Mr. Gage has any money left, the National Foundation for Psychiatric Study, of which I am a director, would gratefully accept any contribution.
All the ridiculous decisions. I don't know how you did it, G.H. Those psychiatrists must be crazy.
Well, if anybody's goofy around here, I'd say it was you.
Me?
Yes, you. What could be more idiotic than fighting a court battle to keep a man from giving away his own property? And what for? For a $250,000 retainer from my estate.
But $250,000 is a lot of money.
And it's brought you the biggest ulcer in town.
Now, you leave my ulcer out of this. Tell me just one thing.
Why did you really do it?
I told you once. I'm sick of buying everything. I'd like to live a little. Maybe even find a few friends that I can trust.
Well, $90 million is a whale of a price for a few friends.
Well, after being without one for such a long time, the price seems dirt cheap.
Do you realize you don't have a dime left?
Yes.
Do you know what that makes you?
Happy.
Happy? Why, you fool. You're nothing but a bum.
Hey, hello there, Mr. Cage. You're taking a bit of the sun, I see, eh?
That's right, officer.
Yeah, good for you after what you've been through. Oh, I got enough room on that bench, Mr. Gage?
Yes, thank you, officer.
Yeah, I followed your trial pretty close. You sure made up monkey out of those lawyers.
It wasn't hard.
What a bunch of dummies. Trying to prove a guy silly in the head just because he wanted to give his dough away. All that fuss. Over what? Money. I tell you, Mr. Gage, you got the right idea.
I have?
Yeah. A few thousand in the bulk. What more can a man want?
Yes, but you see, I don't have any thousand in the bulk.
Oh, come on, Mr. Gage. You surely held out a few solid stocks here and there.
Not a one, no.
Real estate, maybe?
No.
Well, how much did you keep?
$1.
One measly buck?
One measly buck, the first I ever made. I had it framed on the wall in my office. Don't even have that now.
What'd you do with it?
Lunch. 89 cents. I left the 11 cents for the waitress. A big tipper.
You mean you're dead broke?
Stony.
Ah. Well, that makes things a bit different. Look, Gage. Loitering on public property without visible means of support will get you a vagrancy rap.
But officer...
Now get going and keep moving. I don't want any deadbeats in my territory.
Hey, mister, can you spare a quarter for a meal?
I'm sorry, no. Actually, you probably have more money than I do.
Are you kidding?
No, I don't have a cent.
Boy, what kind of a con game you operating? Look at that suit you're wearing. It's worth two C's if it's worth a dime.
Yes, but it's the last and the only one that I own.
How come?
Well, it's a long story. I hardly think that...
Okay, pal. You meet all kinds of sharpies riding the toboggan here on Skid Row.
Well, I'm afraid you don't understand. You see...
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, ain't you that eccentric millionaire that gave away his dough?
Yes, that's me.
Hey, I read all about you in the papers, Mr. Gage. I'm glad to make your acquaintance. My name's Charlie Winkle.
Well, how do you do, Charlie?
How do you do? No offense, but you look hungry, Mr. Gage.
Well, I am, and my name is George.
Oh? Okay, George, let's ease a couple of quarters out of this crowd and go eat.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
You want to eat?
Definitely.
Well, okay. Ask this guy coming along for two bits.
Well,
Go on. What do you got to lose?
That's right. What have I got to lose?
Sure, go ahead.
Here goes. Pardon me, sir. Could you spare a quarter?
He didn't even answer me.
Oh, boy. You're going to take some working on. Georgie, first off, don't ever crawl to a man.
Oh, well, I was only being polite. That's much more than he was. How should I have done it?
Hey, watch me. I'll tap this guy. Hey, Mac, me and my buddy are starving. You got a couple of quarters you don't need? Oh, bless you, mister. Bless you. Yeah. How's that, George? 6 bits. Boy, we'll have beer with our bread tonight.
I don't see how you did it, George.
It's a gift, George. Just a gift. Oh, George, my boy. Just take a whiff of this mulligan.
It smells magnificent.
Yeah, it should be done in a few minutes. Suppose you watch it for a while. Give it a stir with this fork once in a while and keep it from burning.
Okay.
Feels mighty good to get off my feet.
Tell me, Charlie, this place we're in, what do you call it?
Hobo Heaven. It's a jungle, otherwise called the Old City Dump. They won't let us bums in the new one.
Why do all these men gather here? I mean, in this particular spot.
Well, for one thing, the law don't mind. For another, there's lots of places to sleep comfortable and all this junk. Well, those two reasons alone would draw bindle stiffs like honey draws ants. Why do you ask?
Just curious.
Oh.
Hey, you better give the soup a stir.
Oh, yeah, yes, Charlie. I forgot.
Yeah, but not so hard.
George, not so hard. He's grabbing a stick and all.
Oh, I'm sorry, Charlie.
Ah, forget it. We still have bread and beer. That's better than nothing. Uh-oh. Come on.
It's going to rain.
Where are we going?
Into this packing box. It looks pretty snug. Here she comes. Crawl in.
Okay. It's really tight.
Yes. All right, now, Doc.
Yeah. That's not bad. Here. Have some bread.
Oh, thank you, Charlie.
How are those fingers?
Yeah, they're sore.
Yeah, you burned them pretty bad.
I'm kind of a washout, aren't I?
Oh, no. Don't get discouraged. Takes a lot of practice to live without working. You'll do okay.
Well, at least I am being accepted for something other than my money. For which I want to thank you, Charlie.
Oh, skip it.
Say, this place leaks.
Yeah, only in spots.
Yes, but one of those spots is down my back.
You'd have to move a bit to the right.
Yeah,
I'll make room. How's that?
Well, it isn't running down my back anymore.
That's good.
It's pouring into my shoes.
That's not so good. Oh, well, that's the best we can do. George.
Yeah?
Mind if I ask you a personal question?
No, of course not.
How do you feel being a bum?
Awful.
Hey, keep it quiet out there.
Good morning, Charlie. What do you say?
I said keep it quiet out there.
What was that, Charlie?
I said that. Oh, I give up. Let's see what that guy's up to.
Holy smoke. He's got those thumbs working. Hey, George, what are you doing?
Oh, I got a great idea. Great idea.
You're tongue-tied. How'd you sleep?
A little wet.
Yeah, but what cooks? You got these tired old stiff stacking junk like their brains was loose.
You see that man in the gray suit just leaving the dump?
Yeah. Looks like a kind of a swell.
Oh, he is a swell. He's a junk dealer. Oh. I woke up this morning and I saw all this scrap, so I called him on the phone and I said, Mr. Lewis, how much is scrap metal worth to you? We'll load it onto your trucks. All you have to do is just drive it away.
What'd he say?
Well, he said, how much can you get me? And I said, well, over 8 tons of cast iron scrap.
How much did he offer you for that?
$50.
Well, you took it, didn't you?
Oh, no. The market is quoting $25 a ton for cast iron scrap. 8 tons at 25 per ton, that comes to $200. That had meant Lewis would make $150 just for hauling it away.
Yeah, so, what'd you do?
I said, make it $100 and, well, we'll do business.
$100?
Yeah, and he said, it's a deal. My trucks will be around in an hour. Here's your $100.
He really give you the money, huh?
Oh, you bet he did. Fellas, we'll really eat today. How about it, huh?
Oh, we're going to eat. But we can't eat a whole $100 worth.
Well, with what's left over, we'll start to really fix this dump up.
Well, what's the matter, Mrs. Cougar? George seems to be buying a new paper, the Evening Girdle. My goodness, look at the size of that thing.
Yes. Apparently, the Evening Girdle has a very large Sunday supplement. What am I laughing at?
My goodness, look at the size of that thing.
What's it doing in his pocket?
My goodness, look at the size of that thing.
Oh, stop saying that. No wonder he ducked out of the door. He knew I'd find this. Well, I'm going to wait right here till he comes back and demand an explanation.
But you have to get to the theater.
Well, you tell him not to go to bed, because when I come home, we're going to have this out. I put up with a lot, but this is the end. Oh, now I'm all upset. Katie, is my nose shiny? Katie, my nose.
My goodness, look at the size of that thing. Katie!
Curtain going up in 5 minutes. Curtain going up in 5 minutes.
Mr. Lohi, I'm certainly glad you got here in time with this armor. How do I look in it?
Your eyes are beautiful.
My eyes?
That's all I can see.
put down the visor and let's see how it is.
Oh, boy, sure is hot in here.
Phew, better with the visor up.
Oh, here comes your wife.
Uh-oh, she mustn't see me.
Oh, Rodney, you're wearing armor instead of tights. How nice.
Yes, I thought it looked sportier.
You better open your visor on the stage. I can't hear a word you're saying.
A chronifer is in a parallel coming over the cul de draw.
Oh, well, that's much better. We better tell them the play's in English.
Ooh, Mrs. Cougar.
Yes, Miss Worthingale.
Ooh, I'm so excited. It's time for the curtain to go up. Now, let me get settled down here in front in the prompter's box. There. Greetings, everybody. Lady Alice, are you seated in the garden?
Yes, Miss Worthingale.
Sir Edward, are you waiting in the wings for your entrance?
Yes, Miss Worthingale.
Good. Ring up the curtain.
All right, all right. First line. Hark, do I hear a footfall?
Hark, do I hear a footfall? Methinks I hear the cat-like tread of my lover, Sir Edward. Sir Edward needeth a grease job.
Cougat.
Sir Edward, turn thy face from out the shadows. Lift thy visor and let me look upon the face of my beloved. When I look upon thy face, there is only one word that comes to my lips. George! Sir Edward, lift thy visor.
Hi, Lady Alice.
George Cougar, what was that girdle doing in your pocket?
What girdle?
You know very well what girdle.
Please, play. You are Lady Alice.
Oh. Prithee, tell me, what news bringest thou from the king, you wormus?
His Majesty looketh with favor on our betrothal. I don't know what the heck you are talking about.
Not much of.
Please. This is your responsibility. Please.
Read the lines of the play. Hark, I hear approaching men.
George Cougat, I will not go on with this play until you answer me.
Hark.
Liz, are you out of your mind?
Hark.
All right, now that's enough stalling. Let's have the truth.
Hark.
Will someone throw that dame a fish?
Cougar, don't you dare light that cigarette. They weren't invented yet.
I don't understand this, Liz, but if you insist on making a public fight out of it, the least you can do is give me a cigarette.
All right, here.
Well, give it to me.
I did. I stuck it in your visor.
You did not.
I did, too. I can see the smoke curling out of the top of your helmet.
You can. Help! I'm on fire!
Oh, my flame!
Help! This armor's filling up with smoke. Here's a bottle of seltzer.
Here, you armored smoke ham.
Oh, Liz! How are you coming, Liz?
Fine. This is one time I'll bet you're glad I've had so much experience with a can opener.
Fine armor. It rusted into a one-piece suit.
George, before I finish cutting you out of this sardine can, I want to ask you one thing.
Well, what is it?
Are you sure you got that girdle from Mr. La Jolla?
What happens if I say no?
You'll be going away for the winter.
Where?
The Smithsonian Institute.
Liz, you're mean.
Say, suppose I couldn't get you out of this armor.
Oh, that would be awful.
Yes, I'd have to kiss you through a straw.
My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, was produced for broadcast in the Frankfurt studios of the American Forces Network Europe by Air Force Sergeant Dave Schofield. Specialist Brad Scott speaking. Join us next time for My Favorite Husband.
Coopers tonight, we find there's nobody home because they're over at the Atterbury's. Liz and Iris must have something up their sleeve, for they served their husbands a tremendous dinner, and they are now sprawled out helplessly in the living room.
Oh, Gad, I ate too much. I wish I could loosen my belt.
Well, why don't you? Don't be silly. You can't reach way out there. Yeah, I know just how he feels. I'll bet I've gained 5 pounds.
Oh, that dinner was worth it. Who cares if you gain a few pounds here and there?
I do. With me, the fat ignores here and goes straight to there. Yeah. Why is it fat is so sneaky on women? It always hits below the belt.
Don't talk about it. If anyone wants me for the next 6 months, George, I'm hibernating.
Iris, do you think they're ready? They look just about right to me.
Hey, what are they talking about, Miss Atterbury?
I don't know, but I think they're getting ready to baste us with gravy.
No, we're not going to eat you. We just want to ask you a favor, so we stuffed you until you're too weak to fight back.
Mm. A typical feminine scheme. What's the favor?
Well, before we ask you, will you promise you'll say yes?
No.
No. George, before I ask you, will you promise you'll say yes?
Oh, no. The last time I did that, I ended up married.
Why, George Cooper, let's come right out with it, Liz. We want you boys to take us to the country club dance Friday night.
Dance?
Boys?
You remember what a dance is, don't you, Rudolph? When you climb up on my feet and we glide around the room. Iris. Well, what do you say, fellas?
Just a moment. George and I will discuss it.
Ask us again, girls.
Will you take us to the country club dance Friday night?
No.
Oh, you're so funny. Why won't you take us?
Because we're going to the fight.
Fight? But, George, you go there every Friday night. And this is a formal dance.
Formal? Fights are looking better all the time.
I'll say they are.
What's the matter, George? You used to love to go to dances. Now we never go anymore. What happened?
We got married.
Oh, fine. If I get a divorce, will you take me Friday night?
No.
Wait a minute, boy. An offer like that deserves more careful consideration. Sorry, Lotus Bud.
George, I know the fights would be exciting, but think of the dance for a minute. Now, just think. I'd wear the blue dress you like so much, and we could dance on the terrace and smooch in the dark corners. And wouldn't you like that, Georgie? Hmm? Wouldn't you? Hmm?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Smooch too, Rudolph.
Oh, Gad.
Georgie, what does my little husband say, hmm?
No, the spell's broken, Liz. I'm going to the fight. It's the state championship.
Well, I have rights, George Cooper. You'll take me to the dance or else.
Or else what?
Or else I'll go with somebody else. So will I. Atta girl, Iris. We'll go with some other fellas.
Who?
You'll see.
Who?
Don't worry.
Who?
Oh, shut up. You sound like an owl.
Yes.
Oh, it's all right, boy. They're just bluffing.
Oh, we are, huh? Well, don't worry. We'll get dates.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. It's a challenge, Iris. While you're at the fight, you can just think of us floating around the dance floor in someone else's arms. Come on in the den, Iris. I'll tell you who I have in mind.
Okay. Ooh, this is exciting. Well, don't keep me waiting, Liz. Who? Who will we be dancing with?